W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenbelt.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Prosecutors in Massachusetts revealing in court that Brian Walsh allegedly Googled 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to, just around the time his wife Anna Walsh went missing. Anna's friend Pamela Barty says she's horrified by details coming out of the case.
To hear that evidence being shared today was heart-wrenching.
Walsh pleading not guilty to murder. According to newly unsealed court documents, investigators seize bedding, hair, and a glove, but not a weapon, when they search the Washington State apartment of University of Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger. House Republicans want to negotiate federal spending cuts in exchange for raising the debt limit, but the White House refuses to bargain.
Really, both sides here playing a game of chicken, and it's, the clock is ticking for them to reach an agreement right now with this deadline tomorrow approaching of the U.S. officially hitting that $31 trillion limit.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. This is ABC News. Party City has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The company, known for its Halloween costumes, says it will keep its 800 stores and website open while it restructures. Brewing a single cup of coffee might not be as detrimental to the environment as first thought.
Love a K-cup to make your morning coffee? Researchers in Canada say those single-use coffee pods aren't so bad for the environment after all. They are made of plastic, but research shows an old-school filter-use coffee maker generates roughly 1.5 times more emissions than using a pod in a machine. The study at the University of Quebec also notes there's less waste of water, electricity, and of course, coffee. Instant coffee is better than the rest in terms of the environment, researchers say, but if you prefer a K-cup, using more than one a day will put you in environmentally hot water. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
France will cancel most of its trains tomorrow. That's because workers across France will be striking tomorrow over the government's plan to push the retirement age from 62 to 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State Senate Democrats have had it with a controversial member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
I am angry. I am irritated. And I am frustrated.
That's Milwaukee's LaTanya Johnson. She's part of a new push to get Republican Robert Spindell off the panel that oversees elections in Wisconsin. He was a fake Trump elector and recently praised GOP efforts to suppress Black and Hispanic voter turnout in Milwaukee. No word yet on what Spindell or Republican leaders might do. There are no more full-time prosecutors working in the Dodge County District Attorney's Office. Former DA Kurt Klomberg just quit to protest the office's staffing shortage. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night. Wisconsin edged Penn State. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to Double Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with unbelievable extended end-of-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right. Start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL. Steel.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building. Act fast, because for a limited time only, General Steel is extending its end of year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates,
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator is going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the Devil's Advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media. News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley, Civic Media.
Daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Republicans all tingly in the panties, thrilled the prospect of abolishing the IRS. Yeah, the Gang of 20. They're going to get their wet dream wish list. Going to get something on it. The Fair Tax Act is what they have put forth. Told there's going to be a vote on it. This is what the Gang of 20 wants. Now, understand this piece of legislation, the new Republican House bill on taxation would abolish the IRS, which everyone, yay, we don't have to pay taxes. Oh, no. That's not what they're saying at all. Not at all. We would do away with the federal income tax, and we would go to a federal sales tax. Now, you may remember, you know, go back with me in the way, way back machine. Back to the late 90s, early 2000s, when Steve Forbes was running around going, no, we need a flat tax. And everyone was like, yeah, flat tax. Everyone pays a flat tax. Yeah, flat tax. Without understanding what that flat tax means. And in the bill, in 2025, if this passes, now understand, rest assured, it's going nowhere. It's not going to make it through the Senate. I don't even think it passes the House. But it's not going to make it out of the Senate, and Biden certainly will not sign it. But this is their list of priorities. This is on the wet dream wish list. But the tax rate, the federal sales tax rate, stated in the legislation, 23%. 23%! Stop and think about this for a second. That's on top of what you pay in your state taxes, your local tax. That's on top of that. So a 23% federal tax would go right. You think inflation is bad now? Stop and walk with me, if you will, on this journey of, at the beginning, a 23% sales tax on absolutely everything you purchase. Food, property, clothing, services, everything you touch, you're digging, just got 23% more expensive. And you go, but Rick, you know, it's a consumption tax. We're going to, you know, you'll choose to buy things more judiciously. What we know without question is that poor and working class people spend every dollar that they earn because they need it to survive. What this is going to be and what it's intended to be, what the point is to make this as costly on poor and working people as possible. The cruelty is the point. Because what we know is, you know, people at the bottom of the economic scale, sales taxes hits them hardest. And in fact, you know, there have been numerous studies that have been done that show that, you know, here in Pennsylvania where I live, the people at the, because we have a flat state tax, and, you know, people who, with the sales tax, they pay almost four times the percentage as someone at the very top. And this plays out because, according to the Americans for Tax Fairness folks, they point out that calculation of state sales taxes found the 20% lowest income pay on average an effective sales tax of 7.1% of their income, while those in the top 1% pay 0.9%. So do the math. Who's going to be picking up the tab? It's going to be you. It's going to be me. Everything we buy, groceries, cars, homes, healthcare, everything, everything, just got 23% higher. Now, interestingly enough, anti-tax crusader Grover Norquist almost lost his mind. Honestly, I mean, almost blew a gasket. He said, this is a political gift to Biden and the Democrats. I think this is the first significant problem created for the Republican Party by the 20 people who thought that there was no downside to the approach they took. Now, understand, this was mainstream Republican thought and still is. Got to get rid of the IRS, consumption tax. This is part of the ideology. I've heard this for years. This is not new. So when Grover tries to push it off on, it's just the 20. It's just those 20 that want this. No. This was mainstream thought in the GOP for a very long time. This is what their dream has been. Because what it means is, well, poor and working people, they get stuck with the bill. And the very wealthy, they walk away with, well, more. Now, Biden saw an opportunity. He said, great idea. It would raise taxes on the middle class by taxing thousands of everyday items from groceries to gas while cutting taxes for the wealthiest Americans. And if I'm not mistaken, what they've introduced would totally eliminate the IRS. He said, it feels good, except all going to be sales tax. Go home and tell your moms. They're going to be really excited. And you stop and think about it. Everything will just get much more expensive. Now, 23%, that's the start. I remember arguing this back during the Steve Forbes years, going, are you ready to pay that kind of, that massive bill? Because it's going to undo everything else. Social Security, Medicare are done. Done. Because they're not going to fund it. Which means, Granny, you're going to get cut immediately. Because understand, there isn't money there to keep paying all the Social Security without anything coming in. The whole calculus is that there's money coming in so that some of it can come out. There's a little bit of money there, but this is based on people working and paying into the system. This is the setup. So Granny, you know, maybe you're going to have to figure out greeter at Walmart. I don't know. Now, you may do okay because you're not going to buy anything because your consumption years are pretty much over. You've got most of everything you're going to need. Baby boomers, you're kind of through the spending, so you might be okay. Maybe because you were the last ones to really get any kind of defined benefit pension scenario. So maybe you can eke it out. My generation, well, Gen Xers, you're screwed on the Social Security front because you don't have any retirement savings. And we're banking on that Social Security to be there. They're now going to completely defund that and destroy it. And millennials, you get to pay the freight because you're in the heart of your buying years. You're in the heart of buying houses and cars and paying for children and education and healthcare and all this stuff. You're in the heart of all of that. So you get to pick it up. And everybody else, well, you're completely screwed because it will go up again and again and again because, well, we've got to pay stuff. We got to pay for military. We've got to pay for those welfare states that we keep sending money to who keep saying, no, we need to do bad things. Yeah, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to try. It's like the debt ceiling situation. You know, it's a fun exercise to mentally go through. You know, hey, if we touch the button what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, a global economic meltdown, inflation goes rapidly through the roof, and then people stop consuming, and then we have rapid deflation, and then we end up doing depression. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Thanks, Republicans. Now, here's the weird thing. On this front, they're going, we're gonna abolish the IRS, so we don't bring the money we need in. We're gonna go to the this really unstable kind of sales tax. Because understand, you know, property taxes, income taxes are fairly stable. We know people are gonna have to work. We know that you're gonna have to pay property taxes. Sales taxes, they ebb and flow. And if you start heading into a spiral of people not buying stuff, what happens to the federal receipts? Oh yeah, you don't have any money. And that's where Republicans want things to go. Because then they can do all the draconian, nasty, cruel, and evil things that they've wanted to do for years. And this is the sad part of this. And I hate thinking this way. But they've told us time and time and time again that they want to slash social programs. They want to cut food programs. They want to cut housing programs. They want to cut anything that helps working people. They want to slash. Because remember, Republicans hate working people. Look at this legislation. If you work for a living, stop and think about where your tax rates are. Most people pay a federal rate of about 15%. Depending on how low your income is, it's less than that. Now imagine every dollar you spend being taxed at 23%. That's just the federal tax part of it. Again, not the state, not the local, none of that. Stop and think about that for a minute. Now, you had Jim Jordan today tweet out that, because again, we're gonna be in this economic world of Republicans telling us that up is down and down is up and red is black, and you get it. Jim Jordan tweeted out today. Just a few weeks ago, Joe Biden signed a $1.7 trillion spending monstrosity. And now the White House says it will not negotiate with Republicans over the debt ceiling. They created the problem. They created what problem? As I understand, there was a bill, went through Congress. Congress is the purse. There were compromises made. Republicans in the Senate signed on. The bill passed Congress, went to the president's desk. He signed it. That seems like how the system's supposed to work. I'm not quite sure how Biden's responsible for Congress doing its job and the president doing its job and you know, getting the things that we as a country need and moving us in a direction that's going to move us forward. I'm not sure how that's a problem that was created by Biden. But understand, this is the up-down world. This is the created narrative world that you're going to spin into your media outlets, into your pundits and your politicians, and everybody's going to, like the stove trooper stuff. On this debt, we're going to try and blame everything on Biden. Everything's Biden's fault. When the reality is, and again, these are pure facts. The reality is Ronald Reagan borrowed and spent more money than every president in the history of this country. Ran up the national debt to the highest point it had been to that point. George H.W. Bush came in and said, wow, this is bad. Even though I said the read my lips thing, I'm going to have to raise taxes and we're going to have to start paying some of this down. And he got ousted for it. Clinton and Gingrich came together and they said, we're going to balance the budget. And we had a surplus. We were going to pay off the Reagan debt. We were going to have a surplus. And then the Bush years happened. Massive spending. Massive. Massive debt. Crisis. Massive spending during the Obama years to clean up the crisis. And then the Trump years. What's interesting is, you know, during the Trump years, the national debt rose from $19 trillion to $27 trillion during his 4 years. It's a 40% increase. And yet, the sad reality is it's now all Biden's fault. All Biden's fault. And the frustrating part of this is the media monsters, they're gonna play with it. They're gonna blame Biden. When the reality is this administration has done more to cut our deficits than the last several. It's just an interesting time. Let's go to the phones. We got Jeff from Arkansas Arkansas. Jeff, how are you today? What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Rick, how's it going? I was kind of curious. How much time have you really spent in Arkansas?
Probably 2 weeks.
I don't know. I'm retired military. Been a lot in the world, but Arkansas is a pretty good place.
Sure it is. I'm sure there are a lot of people, a lot of good people there. A lot of the people I've met there are great people. Love the folks of Arkansas. Yep. Your government, not so fond of. Your governor, really not fond of. The economic policies that they push, not fond of. But the people I've met were fabulous.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say anything about Sarah, seeing how she hasn't done anything. I mean, she's only been governor for, what, 17 days? Less than that. But
well, Sarah has come out and said that she wants to reform education, and she's going to do it in a way that's going to destroy your public education system by defunding it so we can give it off to the rich folks who want to give us the latest gimmick on education. Her theory is, and this is where my problem is, Jeff, her theory is we've defunded the schools to the point where they're failing, so we have to get rid of them. My mindset is, okay, if we're going to take that scenario that we underfund something, we set it up for failure, and we get rid of it for the next gimmick, maybe we need to start breaking up some of these welfare states that take more money from the federal government than they put in. Maybe that's a thought. There's my idea, Jeff. Any thoughts on your end?
Well, listen, we have a surplus money-wise, so we can't be a welfare state because that, you know...
You get almost 40% of your state's budget from the federal government.
Pardon?
You get almost 40% of your state's budget from the federal government.
Well, yeah, we can't help that.
No, that's the reality. So when you have lower education spending, when you have less health care spending, when you have a lot of the problems that get picked up by the federal government, and then have a government that says, we don't want these things, we don't want your policies, we don't want any of this, it tells me that maybe we shouldn't be doing it. That's my point. I don't hate Arkansas. I hate the policies that the people who are running your state pursue. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. But again, I mean, on the outside looking in, it's not so bad on the inside looking out. I think our schools are wonderful.
Okay.
I think they're outstanding. I'm from White County, Arkansas, and we have some of the best there is in the state.
Outstanding.
The other 75 counties, some are.
So you're going to say good things about your teachers. I love that. Thank you, Jeff, because I want people to respect teachers and honor teachers because they do such an incredible job. And I'm thrilled to hear that your county, it's great. I'm thrilled to hear that, Jeff. Nothing makes me happier.
And I'm kind of hoping they stay away from CRT as well as making sure that
you don't want them to teach history.
She'd use a male's bathroom, and she's going to make sure about that.
Okay,
and
thanks,
most
Jeff.
Our candidates are happy with that.
All right, okay, there you go. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks so much. I got to move along.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much. Let's see, who do we got on line three? We got Zachary on line three. Zach, how are we doing today? Let's go there. I think we lost him. Let's go to line two. Who do we got on line two? We got... Oh, okay. Oh, he did? All right. Well, let's go. All right. Who do we got here? Since we...
Hello?
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Rick brought up Mississippi and Alabama, and I have something pertinent to that. I'm very pro-union. I'm very anti-Alabama and Mississippi, but it was something specific. I'm well-traveled.
Okay. Thank you. So what's the problem?
Can I?
Hit me. Sure, go.
Oh, it wasn't a problem. I tried to bring this up with the NAACP, and I kind of got rounded around things like they didn't know where I was, so what I was talking about. There is a town in northeastern Alabama. The name of it is Winfield, Alabama. It's close to the Tennessee border.
Right.
In that town, the center of the town, it's a small town, but the center of that town is a celebrated slave sale block.
Okay.
It is still standing in honor of slave sale day, in honor of Wednesday, during which every Wednesday, that entire town, including federal offices, are closed. And they say that that's fine because they keep them open on Saturday.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, it has never been touched. It's still there.
So what should we do?
And it's just one of those things that's going to burr up my rear for a long time.
And so what should we do?
I don't want to say that on the air, but I would like to tell him that.
Okay. All right, good. I appreciate the thoughts. Thank you.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Thanks. I'm not sure what's that, but I appreciate the time. Thanks. Going to take a quick break. On the other side, going to take your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickssmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickssmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Real quick, let's get to the phones. I got Eric on line one. Eric, thanks for taking time for us, buddy. What's on your mind?
No, absolutely. You're speaking my language. You're talking about taxes, and you're talking about the Republican hypocrisy, and I just wanted to chime in. I'm actually a CPA by trade, and this is the time of the year for me, starting to get pretty busy, but just wanted to say that, you know, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act by Trump, a lot of the stuff that helped working people, they sunset,
right.
Meaning that they have to be renewed. And if they're not, they go away. Yet for people like Trump, they don't go away. They're in there permanent until somebody, rescinds it or gets rid of it. That's one thing. The average, benefit that we saw working people was $1,200 on average, yet people making millions of dollars in estates, with their, wealth, get to transfer that to $22 million, married, filing, joint. You could pass along to your kid. And again, they call it death tax, total nonsense. But then the one thing I wanted to point out, let's start pointing out, because again, I think I called in once mentioning, we need to start pointing this stuff out directly and in the pocketbooks. And say, you know what? Hey, you guys want to go back to the 50s? Why don't we go back to the taxes?
Absolutely.
Tax rate was over 90% in the 50s, and that built a whole lot of stuff. But you don't hear anybody talking about that.
I say it all the time. We need to go back to the good socialist president, Dwight David Eisenhower's tax code.
Exactly. And so, but then you know what? Let's go back even further. 1913, the very first tax return. $3,000 in 1913, that if you made over $3,000, inflation adjusted, that's $84,000. You didn't have to file a tax return or pay, the taxes unless you made over $84,000. How many of us do that? And nobody wants to talk about that. They hate progressive taxes because they end up having to pay more. That's just the fact of the matter. And the IRS gets $16 for every dollar you spend on that organization, and yet they don't want to fund it?
Yep. No, you're so spot on. I appreciate the call, Eric. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
No, sure. They keep up the good work.
Thanks. Appreciate it. No, I mean, at the end of the day, the reality is what it is. They are robbing us blind, and they've used the tax code to do it. And Eric is spot on. Every benefit that we working people got out of that tax scheme under the Trump administration, sunsets. Those tax cuts for corporate America, those tax cuts for Trump, they go on forever and ever and ever because that's what it was meant to do. question is, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to say no more and fight back? I'm going to watch the clown show.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Prosecutors in Massachusetts revealing in court that Brian Walsh allegedly Googled 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. Just around the time his wife, Anna Walsh, went missing. Anna's friend, Pamela Barty, says she's horrified by details coming out of the case.
To hear that evidence being shared today was heart-wrenching.
Walsh pleading not guilty to murder. According to newly unsealed court documents, investigators seized bedding, hair, and a glove, but not a weapon, when they searched the Washington State apartment of University of Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger. House Republicans want to negotiate federal spending cuts in exchange for raising the debt limit, but the White House refuses to bargain.
Really, both sides here playing a game of chicken, and it's the clock is ticking for them to reach an agreement right now with this deadline tomorrow approaching of the U.S. officially hitting that $31 trillion limit.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. This is ABC News.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State Senate Democrats have had it with a controversial member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
I am angry. I am irritated. And I am frustrated.
That's Milwaukee's LaTonya Johnson. She's part of a new push to get Republican Robert Spindell off the panel that oversees elections in Wisconsin. He was a fake Trump elector and recently praised GOP efforts to suppress Black and Hispanic voter turnout in Milwaukee. No word yet on what Spindell or Republican leaders might do. There are no more full-time prosecutors working in the Dodge County District Attorney's Office. Former DA Kirk Klomberg just quit to protest the office's staffing shortage. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night. Wisconsin edged Penn State. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And they
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And rewilding your yard with things like prairie grass. For help, go to rewild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, this Saturday, January 21st, 13th anniversary of Citizens United versus the FEC. Yes, remember, that's the day when corporations became people, money became speech. Remember, the same people who push that frame are the same ones who are saying that actual real human being people don't have control of their own bodies and aren't capable of that. But corporations, people, money, speech. And you look at what's going on in D.C. with the now we're going to abolish the IRS so that we can give the wealthy even more speech and power. So again, it's that cycle that goes back to them. So the question is how did they get away with it? How did they build the largest, most incredibly wealthy wealth class in the history of civilization? Well, tax codes, tax havens, all kinds of fun stuff. And if you've looked at some of the recent reporting, we're finally coming around to the reality that, well, we're getting screwed over. And here to share some thoughts on just how bad it is, I've asked Kalena Tomhave to come talk with us. She is a freelance journalist and also a researcher with the folks over at the Institute for Policy Studies. She works on their inequality program. Kalena, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So walk me through this because, you know, I just saw this article over at The New Yorker that looked at the Getty family and how they've avoided paying $300 million in taxes over the last decade. And you go, every year I pay my taxes. How do they get away with it? Are they investing in bizarre stuff like crypto? And where are they hoarding their money?
Sure. So the first thing I'll say is that it's a subset of the Getty family, two sisters that are daughters of one of the sons of one of the old Getty family patriarchs. And the only reason that we're hearing about it is because there's a lawsuit. So there's a lot more probably money being stashed by the Gettys themselves. But we know about more than $300 million avoided in taxes to California because those two sisters set up trusts. And actually, a lot of the Gettys have set up trusts in Nevada, which is essentially a tax haven in the United States, where it's really easy to set up trusts and put your assets in there and essentially avoid taxation for generations, hundreds of years, in some states even forever.
I mean, you know, Nevada is one of the tax haven states. South Dakota, another one. Delaware, another one. Those are our big three, right?
Yes, and also Alaska.
Alaska, and that's news to me. Because I knew South Dakota, I know they've got buildings there with thousands of little boxes that represent, you know, all kinds of fun and interesting things.
Yeah, South Dakota is probably the biggest one. And it's also one that we know more about than maybe, say, Nevada, because they're a little more transparent than Nevada. Now, in terms of trust details, very secretive. That's part of the reason that families are attracted there. But we know that there's more than $500 billion in trusts in South Dakota because the South Dakota Department of Finance puts out a report that says that. Nevada puts out no such report. We have no idea how much money in trust is in Nevada.
Yeah, so you don't even have to go to Switzerland or the Caymans anymore. You can just go right to one of the states here. And why is this important? I mean, here we're going to bump up against the debt ceiling here. We see what's going on in Congress right now. The House is moving on an idea, on a scheme to abolish the IRS, which I think would make the Gettys and the very wealthy even more happy. Why is this important now?
I mean, we essentially have a two-tier tax system, right? Where if you are a regular person, and most everyone you know is a regular person, like even a rich person is probably a regular person, because when we're talking about the super wealthy, we're talking about multimillionaires or billionaires, just completely separate from a millionaire. And they can pay people who have spent years studying how to undermine the federal tax system, how to undermine their creditors. It's not that they know more about taxes than we do. It's that they have the millions of dollars to be able to hide billions of dollars. So these are professional accountants that they hire, wealth advisors, lawyers, trust lawyers, all sorts of people that they have working for them. Whereas, like, if you're just a guy with a job working for a paycheck, and your employer takes taxes out of your paycheck in that way, it's much harder to to hide from the IRS. Like, you essentially can't. But if you're a super wealthy person, you have all of those resources, and then the IRS is already underfunded. We do have the Congress did. There's going to be an infusion of funding into the IRS, which is, as you mentioned, there was a vote to reverse that, which isn't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. But it shows where their priorities are, and their priorities align with not working people, with the very wealthy, because what we know is the very wealthy are the people who fund their campaigns. So it's in their interest to keep them very happy. Which is why, again, I keep saying Republicans hate working people, because look at their policies. Look at the schemes that they come up with and how it affects people who actually have to work for a living.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you're mentioning like working people, because these billionaires, most of them are making passive income. They're making money off of their investments. And that's what's really easy to hide from the tax authorities. Not easy, but it's easy when you have a whole team behind you, when the IRS doesn't have the resources to spend years on an audit on you. And so instead, they'll just automate an audit against a poor person who's getting the EITC.
No, and that's the sad reality of where we are. And, you know, I look at someone like Trump who, you look at his tax returns now. We now know he pays nothing virtually, because he does have the army of tax avoidance lawyers to use every loophole, and even ones that he's not entitled to, because they know even if they get caught, they're going to be able to negotiate, fight this out in court for years and years, because they've got the resources to do it. So they make it more costly to hold them accountable. And also, let's not forget that they do buy, and this is one of the things that Trump was honest about when he ran for president, he did buy both sides of the aisle to get tax code language favorable to people like him, which is why, again, working people need to wake up to the reality is the Trumps of the world are not our friends.
Right. I mean, and even if you look at the state level, you might be thinking, oh, well, of course, Nevada has these loose laws. It's not a progressive California, but these laws in Nevada were passed almost unanimously, and a lot of them were put forward by Democrats.
Yeah. No, and look, on this issue, they're equally as bad. Working people need champions. They need to come together on this and understand it, because, look, they play to this narrative, and you know this probably as well as anyone. We all want to be rich. You know, I think Steinbeck's, we're all embarrassed millionaires. We all eventually want to be, very wealthy. And I get that. I want to be wealthy one day. But we're not talking about just somebody who has everything they need and a little bit more. We're talking about the kind of multi-generational wealth that's unimaginable to most people. When you start talking about billions and tens and hundreds of billions, the first trillionaire, that's the kind of power that no individual should have, in my opinion.
Yeah. I read an article once, and I wish I could remember the writer's name, but it's never left me. He said something like, it's a shame that millionaire rhymes with billionaire, because if you're a millionaire, you have a lot of money. If you're a billionaire, it's an existential state. And it is anything you want, anything you dream. If you're a millionaire, maybe you can go on an impromptu trip to Paris. If you're a billionaire, you could buy a restaurant in Paris. It's very different.
You can get a phallic-shaped rocket and shoot yourself to the moon.
That's a better example than mine.
I mean, this is the sad reality of where we are. You can buy a social media, platform like Twitter and have your own little playground and completely screw with, whatever you want. This kind of power is dangerous in the hands of, the twisted and the wealthy. I mean, this is where I keep coming back to. We have got to come to some bit of sanity on this. So what's the argument to working people when you look at this? Because, again, I come back to, we all want to be rich. We all want to do well. We all want to be, at the top of the heap. Sadly, most of us are not going to be. The vast majority are not. But what's the message to them to care about these havens? What's the message here?
I think that, the widening inequality isn't so much about poverty and people who are poor. Like, that's a big part of it. But the problem is when inequality enables just a few people in society to have all of this power to basically buy our legislature. which is what's happening. These laws about trusts, they're not just written by sympathetic Congress people. They're people who've been bought by this industry. They let the trust lawyers write these laws. And I don't think that even if a working person believes that they want to be a millionaire one day, I think that it's a very different argument between letting our system be completely purchased by elites, essentially, because that's what's happening. It's not so much about affluence. It's about power. Where is the power? And that's what they're buying. They're not just buying like a nice vacation home so that you can take your family for a week or whatever every summer. It's power.
No, it is power. And I look at someone like Bezos. He's the example for me. He's got the kind of outweighed power that crushes the economies. The workers who work in his facilities make lower wages than warehouse workers in similar areas. They work in much more dangerous conditions. All of the negatives seem to be magnified when you have someone who has that kind of outweighed power. And for me, it comes back to how people put food on the table and a roof over their heads. And when you have someone who has that kind of access and control, it not good outcomes.
That's exactly what it's about.
So how do we deal with this? Because again, I keep coming back to, we know what the problem is. We have, through bad policy, through horrible tax policy, neoliberal trade policies, all of this stuff forward, we've created the largest billionaire class in the history of civilization and given them such enormous wealth and power. How do we take it back?
Yeah, well, I can think of a few things. And the first one is that we need to kind of demystify the importance of taxes, because I think that for a lot of people, taxes can make their eyes just glaze over. Like, I started working on my taxes recently, and it is so boring. And that's what people think of when they think of taxes. But we need to shift the conversation about how taxes represent, like we were talking about, this dichotomy of power. And if we could actually have an activist movement about taxation, and I think we do somewhat, but it's not as, I don't want to use the word sexy because that's really cliche, but I can't think of another one.
Yeah. No, look, we've been trained like Pavlovian dogs. When we hear taxes, to start foam at the mouth and be against them. We've got to make the sale of why taxation is important. The things that we get, the roads, the bridges, the education, healthcare, if we're fortunate enough, the things that we need. For me, I've always said, government is how we do collectively the things we can't do individually. And we do that through our taxes. But we've rewritten the tax code in such a way, and look at what Republicans want to do today in Congress, to where they've shifted the responsibility from the people who have the resources and the ability to fund these things down to the people who don't. And it's that kind of resentment that they want to build that just plays into their hands, because we think a tax cut, a couple of pennies for us is a good thing, while giving, and I think the Trump tax code is a perfect example, while giving millions and tens of millions to people like Trump.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think looking at more tangible changes, this example of the Gettys is big because it shows how it's not just like an abstract country that's suffering because of Nevada's choices. It's California. Yeah. California is losing out on millions of dollars in taxation, and it's up to states that are suffering from these unbalanced laws to make a stand about it, because even if tomorrow Nevada closed up shop of its trust industry, it's all going to migrate to South Dakota. Yeah. So that doesn't even matter. It needs to be these other states, because right now it's a race to the bottom and more states are joining. So that's on the state level. And then also on the federal level, we need to pass real forward thinking trust legislation that closes these loopholes, closes taxation loopholes, requires disclosure so that people can't set up trusts and shell companies anonymously and not even the states know who they are. We can tax trusts that will give us more money to pay for the things that people need, like healthcare and housing. So it's tough because we need a Congress on our side.
Yeah, and that comes back to us and who we vote for. But at the end of the day, the policies that we've allowed to spring up around us have done this to us. Bad policy got us here. I think good policy can get us out. But, Kalena, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts on this. It's an important issue. I hope you'll come back and share some more with us down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Kalena Tomhay, she is a freelance journalist researcher with the Inequality Program over at the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at the work that they do. Going to take a quick break, right back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. Have you ever worn a union button or t-shirt to work? On this day in labor history, the year was 1912. Members of the Australian Tramways Association in Brisbane, Queensland, decided to put on their union badges at work. The men operated and maintained the city's public transport system. For months before the action, their manager, an American named Joseph Stillman Badger, had banned wearing the badges. He wanted to thwart the union from growing in numbers. Before noon that day, the workers gathered together and donned their union badges by affixing them to their watch chains. And for that, they were promptly suspended from their jobs. They were told they could return to work if they took off the badges. The workers refused. That night, 10,000 people gathered in the city's market square in a rally to support the workers. The next day, 25,000 workers walked off the job and marched through the streets. A general strike was called for January 30th. 43 unions supported the strike. The police violently attempted to disband the strikers on February 2nd, a day known in Australia as Black Friday. Perhaps the most remembered event in the strike occurred when the famous feminist Emma Miller stuck her hat pin into the rump of the police chief's horse. The horse reared and sent him tumbling to the ground. The strike wore on for 5 weeks before it faded. At the end of February, the tramway employees were officially granted the right to wear their badges. But the company refused to hire back striking workers. The events at Brisbane were an important stand for free speech and the right to form a union. A question for today is, how far would you be willing to go to show your union pride? Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, most people disapprove of how the GOP handled their speaker vote. 53% of Americans disapproved. 32% were in favor of it. 32%, that number seems, well, seems Trumpian. Not surprising that 32% would be all in favor of the debacle that we saw. It's just, well, I guess not surprising. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. So I'm going to chime in here about the Republicans' wet dreams on slashing all of the safety net programs. Okay, so they've already, because they don't think ahead, you know.
See, I think they do. I think the cruelty is the point. I'm going to disagree. I think they've thought this, they've gamed this out in their think tanks. They know the pain and suffering that's going to cause, and that's the point.
Well, yes, that I agree with you on that. But they're not looking the long road, and I'll tell you why. They've already killed off hundreds of thousands of their supporters with the COVID, okay? You know, telling them not to get the shot and the whole nine yards. So we're going to slash the Social Security programs and the other safety nets. Now, the latest statistics, and I just looked this up to make sure that I had it before I called. 31% of the American population are registered Democrats. 28% of the population are registered as Republicans, and then it's in the 30s, and I can't remember exactly, are independents.
Right.
So we're going to assume that we're going to kill off millions more by starving them, denying them food and whatnot. So they're going to lose more supporters. So we can look forward to more nuttiness because they're not going to be able to win any elections unless they, you know, pass all kind of new laws like, you know, women can't vote or something equally amusing.
They're trying.
Or let's go back to the original intent that only property landowners can vote.
Male over 21.
The Federalist Society and their original intent is they conveniently forget that the original intent of the Founding Fathers was that people would take turns in Congress, but apparently they could forget about that.
Yeah, but I also think that the founders would think that we as voters would hold them accountable.
Well, absolutely.
See, I'm not a term limit guy. I think we have the ultimate term limiter, and that's our ability to vote for good people. The problem is
we've got... Well, I agree with you on that, but my whole point was if we're going to go with original intent, then we should apply it to everything, correct?
There you go. I'm with you. All righty.
But you have a good evening,
Good
Rick.
Stuff. Appreciate it, Alice. No, I believe the cruelty is the point. And I look at Jon Stewart's comments. Jon Stewart was commenting on George Santos, who, you know, I'm almost done caring about George Santos. The things that he's done, you know, stealing money from, what was it, of a dying dog he took money from. He claimed the mother was at 9/11, changed his name to a Jewish name so he could get money from there. I mean, just a grifter, a con man. There's all kinds of things. But Jon Stewart says the thing we have to be careful of, and I always caution myself on this, and I ran into trouble with Trump, is we cannot mistake absurdity for a lack of danger because it takes people with no shame to do shameful things. And I found that to be, you know, I agree 100%, and I believe this. You know, people with no conscience are the ones who are willing to take food out of the mouths of children. Someone like Santos, if the stories are true, you know, taking money from a dying dog, you know, okay. And the people around him that are continuing to prop him up, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Now, the fun and entertainment's about to begin, because if you look at the House Oversight Committee, you got three of the 20 on there, or two of the 20, three of the insurrectionists. My congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry, he is now going to be on the House Oversight Committee, along with Marjorie Trainwreck Greene and Paul Gosar. So that's going to be an interesting committee. It's going to be fun to watch what they do, because they're going to go and do what they're inclined to do, which is the cruelty. And my favorite defense yet, Donald Trump on the Truth Social. He said the fake news media and crooked Democrats keep saying I had a large number of documents in order to make Biden classified ducks look less significant. When I was in the Oval Office and elsewhere and papers were distributed, he wrote, to groups of people and me, they would often be in striped paper folders with classified or confidential or another word on them. When the session was over, he writes, they would collect the papers, but not the folders, and I saved hundreds of them. Remember, these were just ordinary, inexpensive folders with various words printed on them. They were cool. They were a cool keepsake. The argument is they weren't classified documents. No, because he said the Gestapo, the FBI, planted them. No, these weren't classified. These were just cool folders that a billionaire thought he would hoard. Because, you know, we don't want them to go to waste. We've got these cool-looking folders with words on them. You know, the very best words, like classified and confidential. That's the new defense. I love how these... I wonder if he's going to take that one into the court of law. I wonder if a judge gets to throw that one out. And how do you defend this? Crazy times. Crazy times indeed. And as I've said, you know, sitting in this seat, what the Republicans are going to bring us over the next 2 years.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.